Be'ezras Hashem Yitzbarach, we begin Maseches Makos. As a very brief introduction to the Masechta, the opening sugya deals with the concept of Edim Zomamin. Edim Zomamin are when you have two witnesses that come into Beis Din, and they testify about Reuven, that Reuven did something which would obligate him to get a certain punishment, whatever it is, whether it's money, or it's Malkos, his lashes, or Misas Beis Din, or death by one of the four ways that the Beis Din can put you to death. And subsequently, two more witnesses come in and say about these original two witnesses that you could not have seen the event that you claim to have witnessed. And the reason is because Imanu Hayisam B'Makom Ploni, you were with us at the same time in a totally different place. So if you claim that you saw Reuven steal $100 from Shimon in New Jersey on January 1st, that can't be, because you were with us on that day in Florida. So the Torah tells us what the punishment is for these witnesses. Normally, if witnesses testify falsely, they have violated a transgression of lo sana, of not one of the aseres hadibros, not testifying falsely in court. But here, the punishment is unique. The pasuk says in Parsha Shoftim, Perek Yotes, Pasuk Yotes, Va'asisem lo ka'asher zamam la'asos la'achiv. We do to him as he intended to do to his brother. In other words, they get the punishment that they tried to give to this other person. That is a very brief introduction just to the basic idea of Edim Zomamin. So let's begin the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Ketzer ha'edim nasim zomamin. How do witnesses become zomamin? Says the Mishnah, Me'idin anu b'ish ploni, we testify against so-and-so, Shehu ben Gerusha, that he is the son of a divorced woman. The way Rashi explains it, the witnesses testify, we saw his mother get divorced before he was born. And now his father is a Kohen, and his mother is a divorced woman. They're not allowed to get married to each other. And subsequently, he, this person that they're testifying about, has the status of a chalal. A chalal is a person who's the son of a Kohen, but he loses his rights as a Kohen. O ben chalutza, the same thing if his mother had chalitza done. Chalitza is the process of when a man and a wife are married and they don't have children and the man dies childless. So there's a special mitzvah of yibum or chalitza. In times of the Torah, there was yibum was preferable, where the brother of the deceased man would marry his sister-in-law. And if a person chose not to do yibum, there was an option to do chalitza. If they did chalitza, which was a process where they came into Beis Din, that's the what we call the spitting in the shoe ceremony. If that happened, then the woman is treated as if she was a divorced woman in the sense that she cannot marry a Kohen. So if she married a Kohen subsequently, that child would be a chalal. So says the Mishnah, Ein Omrim, we do not say, Ya'asezeh ben Gerusha o ben Chalutza ta'achtav. Now what happens if these witnesses end up becoming Edim Zomamin? So the Mishnah says, we do not say that these witnesses become chalalim. Rashi says, the way Rashi understands, that they had to be kohanim, otherwise there's no even initial an initial thought that they should become chalalim. But even if there are kohanim, other rishonim disagree. The Ritva disagrees, but Rashi at least learns that these witnesses, we're talking about witnesses who are kohanim, so potentially we could call them chalalim, and nonetheless, the halacha is they do not become a ben gerusha or a ben chalutza. They don't become a chalal. Ela lokar boim. Instead, the punishment they get is malchus. The second case of the Mishnah is me'idin anu b'ish ploni shehu chayev liglos. We testify against so and so that he killed by accident. And the rule is, if you kill by accident, you have to go to the ir miklat. You have to go to the city of refuge. Basically, you have to leave your house. You have to go into exile, and you have to stay in the ir miklat. And the Mishnah later on in Makos will discuss. You have to wait until the kohen gadol dies, and then you're free. Before the Kohen Gadol dies, the Goel Hadam is the relative of the deceased person who was appointed by Beis Din. If you are found outside of the boundaries of the Ir Miklat, the Goel Adam is allowed to, and perhaps supposed to, kill you. So you have to stay in this Ir Miklat. So what would happen if Reuven and Shimon two guys testified about Reuven that he killed Shimon by accident? So Reuven has to go to Golos. So what happens if they become Edom Zomimin? So normally, based on the Pasuk, they should have to go into Golos. Says the Mishnah, Ein Omrim Yigla Zetachtov. We do not say that they have to go into Golos, Elolok Arbaim. Instead, they get Malkus. Okay? Now, that's the Mishnah. The Mishnah had two examples of Edom Zomimin where they don't get the normal punishment, but instead, they get Malkus. Let's go to the Gemara, and the Gemara is going to explain a lot of the nuances of the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Ha-ketzad ein ha-edim nasim zomim v'olei. The Gemara asks a very, very simple question. We started off by saying, Ketzad ha-edim nasim zomimin. How do witnesses become zomimin? Ha-ketzad ein ha-edim nasim zomimin. What do you mean? We started out by saying how witnesses become zomimin. Zomimin means the intentions. Ka-asher zomam, like they intended to do. And what did we proceed to explain? Exactly the opposite. We gave two cases where they do not get what they intended to do. They intended to make Reuven a chalal. They intended to send Reuven to Galos, to Ir Miklat. And we see that they don't get that punishment. They get Malkus. So why does the Mishnah start off, how do witnesses become Zomimin? It should really start off, how do witnesses not become Zomimin? That's question number one of the Gemara. Question number two, Va'od. We're going with Rashi's explanation of the Gemara. If I owe it a second question, midakatani lekaman, the Gemara later on is going to tell us on Daf Hey, Aval amru lohem hey achatem eidim. But they say to them, how could you testify? Saying to the witnesses, how could you testify? Shahari ba'oso hayom, on that day that you claim that you saw this event happen, atem heisem imanu b'makom ploni. You were with us, atem heisem imanu, you were with us b'makom ploni, in such and such a place. Hare elu zomimin. This is what makes somebody a zomimin. Now, the Mishnah started off with Ketzad ha'edim nasim zomimin. How do witnesses become zomimin? Now, if you ask that question, says the Gemara, the answer should be, you know how they become zomimin? Two other witnesses come in and testify, Imanu ha'yisem b'makom ploni, you were with us. That's how they become zomimin. The Mishnah seems to be giving examples of the punishment for Edom Zomimin. But the Mishnah started off, how did the witnesses become Zomimin? What do you mean, how do the witnesses become Zomimin? Later on in Daf Hey, the Gemara is going to tell us, they become Zomimin if two other witnesses come in and say, you were with us. But how do they become Zomimin? They don't become Zomimin by getting Malkus. That's not how they become Zomimin. So doesn't the way the Gemara, the Mishnah, the opening line of the Mishnah framed the Mishnah, it doesn't seem that the Hemshech, the continuation of the Mishnah, doesn't seem to address the opening line. So that's two questions. Number one, really the Mishnah should have said how witnesses do not become Zomimin, because the cases in the Mishnah are times when they're not getting the punishment that they intended to inflict. And second of all, the continuation of the Mishnah doesn't seem to answer the original question. How do witnesses become Zomimin? The way witnesses become Zomimin is discussed on Daf Hey. The examples given in the Mishnah don't address that issue. So why is that the answer? Why is that the Mishnah's answer to how witnesses become Zomimin? Those are the two questions. So the Gemara reworks the Mishnah. It says the Gemara, Tana Hasam Koi. The Mishnah, the Tana, is going back on the end of the previous Masechta. At the end of Masechta Sanhedrin, now it's interesting, Rashi calls this is a Mishnah of Peites in Sanhedrin. Rashi calls this the Siyuma de Sanhedrin, the end of Sanhedrin. In our Gemara, we still have a whole other Perek. We have a Perek Chelek, which is, there's a lot of stories in it, but the entire Perek Chelek, which is over 20 blot Gemara, 20 daf Gemara, is after this last Mishnah. But for whatever reason, Rashi calls this the Siyuma de Sanhedrin, the end of Sanhedrin. Perhaps he didn't have a parachelic over there. So Rashi says it's a continuation of the end of the previous Masechta, which says, Kol hazomimin makdimin lo'oso misa. all Zomamin, all Edom Zomamin, get the very same death penalty that they chose to inflict on someone else, chutz mi Zomamei Bas Kohen uBoala, except for the case of a Bas Kohen who lives with a man, a Bas Kohen, a daughter of a Kohen, who's married, she's a Nesua, she's fully, completely married, and she has relations with another man. So the Zomamin, the Edom Zomamin, in that case, don't actually get the same death penalty that they chose to inflict, they intended to inflict. Because the man in that situation, the man who lived with this woman, he gets the death penalty of chenek, of choking, which is actually of the four penalties. There's four penalties, and we paskin that the order is skila, which is stoning, sreifa, which is burning, that's hot lead, hereg, and then chenek. Those four are in that order. So chenek is the lightest of the punishments. Not that any of them are fun, but the lightest of the punishments is chenek, and each one higher on the list is a little more severe. So the halacha is that the man gets chenek, the woman, who is the daughter of a kohen, she gets sreifa, she gets a higher level of punishment. So, if the two witnesses came in and said, this lady, who is the daughter of a kohen, lived with this man, so the halacha would be that she gets sreifa, he gets chenek, and sreifa is a higher level. So we would think that if they become zomamin, and really the story wasn't true and they weren't even there, then they would get the higher punishment, which is sreifa. Says the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, they don't get the higher punishment, they get the lower punishment. In other words, this is an exception. Okay? Why it's an exception, but it's an exception. She'ein makdimin la'osa misa. In that case, of the Zomamei Bas Kohen uBoala, they do not get that death penalty which they chose, which they intended to inflict, Ela l'misa acheres. Rather, they get a different death penalty. V'yesh edim Zomamin acherim. And now we continue on. There are other Edom Zomamin. That's our Mishnah. She'ein osin b'hen dina hazama kol ikar. That we don't do any kasher zomam, any on any level of what they intended to do. Ela malkos arboim. Rather, we ignore what they actually intended to do, and we give them a totally separate punishment, which is 40 lashes. What's the case? Ketzad, how is that? So, me'idin anu b'ish ploni shu ben gusho ben chalutza. We testify about somebody that he is a chalal, because he's the son of a divorced lady and a kohen, or a chalutza, a lady who had chalitza done, and then she married a kohen, and he is the product of this union. He is a chalal. Ein omer miyas is a ben gusho ben chalutza tachtav, ela lo kazar boyim. So our Mishnah is a continuation. At the end of Sanhedrin, we gave a case where they don't get the exact penalty, they get only one of the penalties, the penalty they intended to inflict on the man, but not on the woman. And now, at the beginning of Makos, we have an example where they're getting a penalty that they didn't choose to inflict at all. They didn't want to inflict it at all, totally separate. So again, it's part of the list of a case that they don't get the Zomamin punishment. Says the Gemara, Minohani Mili. This is 8 lines from the bottom. And Daf Beis Amud Aleph. Minohani Mili. How do we know that we can that this is true? In other words, why don't we make him a chalal? Why don't we send him to the Irmaklat? Why do we give him Malkus? Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. Yoshua ben Levi says the Amar Kra because it's a pasuk. The pasuk that we read before, it's Va'asisem lo ka'asher zomam. We do to him like he intended to do. Lo, we do to him. V'lo lazaro. But we can't give a punishment if it's going to affect his children. Now, if a Kohen, you have a Kohen. Kohen lives with a divorced woman. The child is a chalal. That chalal, his children will also be chalalim. So by calling somebody a chalal, if we're going to turn these Edom Zomamin into chalalim, then their children subsequently will also be chalalim, in which case they will also be punished. But since the pasuk says we do to him, and the Gemara darshins, the Gemara learns out that it's to him that we do this punishment, but nobody else should be negatively affected, at least in terms of the technical punishment. So therefore, we can't give him this punishment, and we're stuck. So we're going to have to give him a different punishment. We're going to have to give him malchus. So the Gemara asks, one second. So why don't we make a special rule? As it is, this whole rule seems unique. Let's make a special rule. In this case, he's going to be a chalal, but his son is not. Okay, so his son is going to go up to Duchen, and he won't. Says the Gemara, can't do that. Why not? Because Be'inon ka'asher zamam la'asos v'leka. We have to do like he intended to do. He intended for the Reuven to become a chalal, which meant Reuven's children will become a chalalim, and grandchildren, so on and so forth. So if you only punish him, you wouldn't be punishing the way he intended to do. So you're stuck. You can't do it the way he intended to do, because you'd be punishing his children, and that's a violation of lo velo lazaro. So since you're stuck, we're going to have to give you an alternate punishment. We have no choice. We'll give you malchus. Says the Gemara, that's one answer. Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Four lines from the bottom. Bar Pada Omer. Bar Pada gives a different way of understanding. A kal vachomer. Kal vachomer is all the more so. Umaha mechalel. Eino mischalel. Now, if you have a regular case of a Kohen who lives with a divorced woman, and they have a child, that child is a chalal, the Kohen himself, at least when he separates, the Kohen himself will not be a chalal. So he has the power to actually create a chalal, but he himself does not become one. Ha-mechalel, eino mechalel. The one who makes the chalal does not himself become a chalal. Says the Gemara, here's the logic. Ha-balechalel, v'lo chilel. One who comes to try to make a chalal, v'lo chilel, and he wasn't even successful. Eino din, is it not logical? Shalo yischalel, that he's not going to become a chalal. If a regular Kohen has a child, and that child is a Kohen, a chalal, so he was successful in creating a chalal, and he still does not become a chalal. So somebody who didn't even create the chalal, certainly he shouldn't become a chalal. So logically, the witnesses who were unsuccessful in creating this chalal, because they testified about Reuven that he's a Ben Gerusha, but their testimony ultimately was thrown out. So they were unsuccessful. So if they're unsuccessful, how can we hold them responsible? Says the Gemara, Maskif la Ravina. Ravina attacks this kal vachomer of Bar Pada. And he says the following, Im kein bitalta toras edim zomamin. If so, that you're going to apply this logic, you have undone the entire parsha of edim zomamin. Turning to daf beis amud beis, he says the following, Uma hasokel eino niskal, one who intends to stone. Eino niskal does not get stoned. One who's stoned does not get stoned. As Rashi says, if two witnesses come in and say Reuven violated Shabbos, one of the 39 malachos, and there were witnesses, they witnessed it and they warned him properly, they bring him to Beis Din, and he gets stoned. Now Reuven gets stoned. A day after Reuven gets stoned, two witnesses come in and say, you could not have seen that you weren't with Reuven on Shabbos. You were with us somewhere else. So the halacha is, we apply the rule later on, the Gemara says, kasher zamam, like you intended to do, velo kasher asa, but not like you actually did, which teaches that if they actually inflicted the death penalty successfully, then we don't give them the same punishment later. We'll have to see the Gemara later on. But here's the logic. Uma hasokel, one who actually successfully gives the stoning death penalty, eino niskal, they would not get skila. Haboliskol, the lo sokal. Now what happens if you try to do it and you're unsuccessful? So you're not as bad, right? If witnesses come in and Reuven actually gets put to death, and in such a case they don't get the punishment, so certainly if they tried to get Reuven the death penalty, and before the Beis Din was able to give the death penalty, they came and they became Edim Zomamin, right? So certainly they're not as bad. So certainly we're not going to give them the death penalty. Says the Gemara, that logic can't be true, because that goes against the Pasuk. The Pasuk says we give them that punishment, the punishment that they intended to do. Now, you want to ask, logically, how does that make sense? Well, we'll leave that to the Gemara. But we see that the logic doesn't transfer, because it's a technicality, it's a flaw, but it can't be a kal vachomer. Just because the two witnesses inflicted the death penalty, they don't get kasher zamam. So now, We see we can't apply that logic because we know the halacha is if they try to inflict and they were unsuccessful, then we do give the death penalty. So we see that the logic for some reason doesn't work. And therefore, you can't apply the logic to the case of the chalal, ela machavarta. Rather, it is clear, kedishanin and meikara, like we answered originally, i.e. the answer of Rabbi Shua ben Levi, which is that the reason we can't make these two witnesses in the Mishnah, chalolim, is because the pasuk says, va'asisem lo, we can only do it to them, we can't do it to their children, and if we wouldn't do it to their children, we would only do it to them, that would not be doing what they intended to do. And therefore we're stuck, and we have to give something else, so we give malchus. We're now up to the two dots at the top of Beis Amud Beis. The Gemara continues with the second case of the Mishnah. Me'idinanu be'ish ploni shu chayev golos. The Gemara is going to go through a very similar dialogue. How do we know that we can't impose the gullus penalty and send these two witnesses, the Edom Zomim, to Ir Miklat? Amar Reish Lakish says, the Amar Kra, because the Pasuk says, Hu Yanus El Achas Ha'arim. He, the Pasuk says, when you go to the Ir Miklat, he flees to one of those cities, the Ir Miklat. Hu Velo Zomim. The Gemara makes a drasha. It's him, he would go to the Ir Miklat, but Edom Zomim would not go to the Ir Miklat. Rabbi Yochanan, that's one explanation. Rabbi Yochanan, Omer, Rabbi Yochanan says, Kal v'chomer. We have a Kal v'chomer. Uma hu sha'asa ma'isa b'mezid, eino gola. He who did something on purpose, eino gola. Hin shalo asu ma'isa b'mezid, eino din shalo yiglu. Okay? If a person actually killed, Reuven actually killed Shimon on purpose, he doesn't go into Gullus. So these two witnesses who come to testify against Reuven that he should go into Gullus, and they were unsuccessful, certainly, as Rashi says, Heim shalo asu ma'isa b'mezid, ela dibur ba'alma. They merely spoke. U'b'mezid he'idu. They did it on purpose. Eino din shalo yiglu ala mezid. That for doing it on purpose, they won't go into exile because theirs was not an action, theirs was just speech. Says the Gemara, v'hiyano senes. That's exactly the point. That logic should be flipped. Why? Because we're misunderstanding what the purpose of the Gullus is. Hu sha'asa ma'isa b'mezid. He, Reuven, who killed on purpose, right? We know that if you killed on purpose, you're not allowed to go to the Ir Miklat. Why not? Lulegly, he doesn't get exiled. Ki heichid lo tahavi le kapara, so that it should not be an atonement. We don't want him to get an atonement. We don't want to give him the easy way out. He killed on purpose. It's too easy to go to the Ir Miklat. But hein, these witnesses, shalo asu ma'isa b'mezid, they didn't do anything wrong on purpose. Nami liglu, they should get exile. Ki heichid lo tahavi le kapara, they should be able to access that type of kapara. Ela machavarta. So the logic doesn't work, so we have to go back to the opinion of Reish Lakish, who says that it's based on a pasuk, which is Hu Yanus El Achas He'orim. He goes to the Ir Miklat, but the Edom Zomim would not go. The Gemara continues. Amar Ula. Ula says Remez La Edom Zomim Min HaTorah Minayin. Where do we see a hint to the concept of Edom Zomim? The Gemara asks Remez La Edom Zomim. What do you mean a hint to Edom Zomim? The pasuk says, "Va'asisem lo ka'asher zaman." We do to him like he intended to do. Right, that's explicit in the pasuk. So what do you mean a hint? Ela remez la'idim zaman shalokin minatar. What we meant to say was, where do you see a hint that if you can't do what they intended to do, that we could at least give malchus? Do we see a hint to that in the Torah? Minayin, from where? Dichsiv says the pasuk says vehitzdiku es hatzadik vehirshiu es harasha vehoyam bin hakos harasha. They made the vehitzdiku es hatzadik. They made righteous the tzadik vehirshiu es harasha, and they made wicked the rasha, the wicked man. Vehoyam bin hakos harasha, and then we give lashes. We hit the rasha. Now the Gemara asks, what do these pesukim mean? Mishum vehitzdiku es hatzadik vehirshiu es harasha, because they made the tzadik a tzadik and the rasha a rasha. Then we're going to be allowed to strike the Rasha. Says the Gemara, Ela Edim Sheher Shiva Tzadik. It must be a case where witnesses came and they made the Tzadik wicked, i.e. they testified falsely about someone. And other witnesses came, v'hitzdikus atzadik d'mei ikara, v'shavinu lahani rishoyim. Hitzdikus atzadik, they made righteous the tzadik d'mei ikara, the original tzadik, who never did anything wrong, who was framed. They made him righteous. V'shavinu lahani rishoyim. And then they turned these guys into wicked people by showing that they testified falsely, flipping it around. Now the original defendant is innocent. He's a tzaddik. They are the Rishayim. They are the Edom Zomim. V'ayim bin Hakosa Rasha. So we strike. We give Malkus to the Rasha. Okay. So we see a hint. It's not the simple explanation of the pasuk, but the Gemara is able to darshan the pasuk to explain a situation where we're going to end up giving Malkus to the Rasha. The Gemara asks on the first wide line, v'seipukle v'teipukle. Let's learn it out, mi lo sane. From the pasuk that we mentioned earlier of lo sane, which is one of the aseres that you're not allowed to testify falsely. Why do we, anytime the Torah gives a negative commandment, the punishment, unless noted otherwise, is going to be 39 lashes. So, if so, why do we have to come onto a hint, a backhanded way of explaining a bunch of psukim and trying to give some explanation that's going to fit? Why don't we just take the pasuk of lo sane? They violated the commandment of testifying falsely. Anytime you testify falsely in court, you violated a negative commandment, and you should get malchus. Says the Gemara, mishum nahavi lav shein bo maisa. Because lo sane is testifying falsely is speech. Speech is not considered an action, and the rule is v'chol lav shein bo maisa ein lokin alav. And any negative commandment which doesn't carry with it an action, you don't get malchus for it. And if you don't get malchus, and since you don't get malchus for it, we needed to search for another source. So that's the hint that we have the option of giving malchus to Edom Zomimin from the pasuk of Vehitzdikus Atzadik. We're on the second wide line of the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanon. Tafreish Tanu Rabbanon, we learned in a braisa. Dalad Dvarim Nemru Be'Edom Zomimin. There are four statements which were made about Edom Zomimin. Number one, Ein Nasan Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. We mentioned in the Mishnah, Edom Zomim can't become a chalal. Ve'in golan lari miklat, also mentioned in the Mishnah, you can't go to your miklat. Ve'in mishalman es ha-kofer, and they don't pay the kofer. Kofer is a penalty when a shor muad, a ox that was already warned, but the owner was warned to be careful because it's caused damage, and it goes and it kills a human being. The halach is, there's a penalty called kofer, which needs to be paid. So, Edom Zomim, Edom testify that Reuven's ox, which had already been warned and based in, killed someone, and they turned out to be Zomim. So they don't have to pay that kofar. Gemara is going to elaborate. Ve'inim karim be'evit ivri. The halacha is if somebody steals and they don't have money to pay back, the Torah tells us that this person is sold as an evit ivri, as a slave, in order to pay back the debt. Now what would happen if Edom testified about Reuven that he stole money from Shimon? Gemara is going to see who didn't have money to pay back, but potentially it's a case where the punishment could have been for Reuven that he got sold into slavery. So in such a case, the Edom Zomim would not get sold into slavery. We're going to elaborate on each of these cases. Mishum Rabbi Akiva Amru, and in the name of Rabbi Akiva, they included Af Ein Mishalman Al Pi Atzman. If you have witnesses that came into court and they said we became Huzmu, we became Edom Zomim in another Beis Din, and we want to pay the penalty. So the halacha is they don't pay. In Mishalman Al Pi Atzman, by their own testimony, they don't have to pay whatever penalty it was. If they escaped and they never paid the penalty, they don't have to pay in this case. The Gemara is going to go through each one. Ein Nasan Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza Kedamron. You don't become a chalal kedamron. We've already discussed it. Vein gol lari miklat kedamron, and you don't go into the ir miklat like we already discussed. The next case, vein mishalman es hakofer. Okay, you don't pay the kofer penalty when the ox that was a muad that was warned not to damage and it killed someone. The kofer penalty, Edom Zomim would not be obligated to pay. Kasavri, this opinion holds. Kufra kapara, the kofer payment is an atonement. It's an atonement for being irresponsible and allowing your ox to kill someone. Now, this specific atonement is not you don't owe a certain amount of money, as we'll see. The other option would be kufra mamona. That means it's a monetary penalty. It's not a monetary penalty. This is basically your way of doing tshuva for this avera. But if the Edom Zomimin, they had their own avera, but their ox didn't gore, so you can't make them pay a penalty to do tshuva for an avera that they never did. V'hani lav b'nei kaparinu. They're not part of this kapara. So therefore, Edom Zomen in this case would not have to pay the kofar penalty. Says the Gemara, man tana, kufar kapara. Who's the tana who holds, who accepts the opinion that kofar is kapara, that it's an atonement? Amar v'chista Rabbi Shmuel ben Osho, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. It's the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. The tanya, as we learn in a braisa, we're on the eighth wide line. The pasuk says, v'nasan pidyon nafsho. You give, the pidyon is the redemption of his soul. Says the Gemara, the Tanakhama says, Chacham say, Dmei Nizak. The kofar payment is determined based on the value of the Nizak, the one who was damaged, i.e. the one who was killed by the ox. Rabbi Shmuel ben Osho, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, Omer Dmei Mazik. Rabbi Shmuel says, no, you pay the value of the owner of the animal, the Mazik, the damager. Says the Gemara, my lav b'ha kamifli. This machlokas, my love, is it not? Baha kamifigli. In this is their argument. Demar sava kufra mamona, that the Tanakama says that kofar is a penalty, a money penalty for what happened, and you pay the penalty based on the damage that you caused. You're paying for damages here. Somebody died. The value of the person's life, whatever the value that Bezin will determine, you'll pay that value because that's the damage that you caused. Kufra is mamona, it's a money penalty. Umar sabar kufra kapara, and Rabbi Shmuel holds kufra kapara. It's an atonement. Who's an atonement for? For the damager. So you have to value based on the damager, because he's the one that needs the atonement. In such a case, if this is how we understand the machlokes, it would come out that Rabbi Shmuel is unique in that he's the opinion that says kufra is kapara, in which case, going back to our original braisa, the opinion that says ein mishalman es hakofer, you don't pay the kofer because kofer kapara, because kofer is an atonement, would be uniquely the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. So the Gemara says Amar of Papa. Rav Papa disagrees. Lo, no, that's not, that analysis of the braisa is not correct. The kule alma, that really everybody, kufra kapara, even the chachamim say that kofer is an atonement for what happened. V'hacha, and over here, v'ha kamifli. This is what they're arguing about. Mar savar, this one holds, b'din nizik shayminon, umar savar b'din mazik shayminon. Shayminon means to evaluate. So one opinion holds, we evaluate based on the damagee, and one opinion holds that we evaluate based on the damager. And it has nothing to do with the fact that kufra is indeed a kapara, according to everybody, it's an atonement. My taimayo de rabbanon. So what's the reason for the rabbanon? Why do the Rabbanan say that you have to pay based on the value of the damagee, if in fact, kofar, this payment, is an atonement? Says the Gemara, because nemar hashasa lamata, nemar hashasa lamala. There's two places where hashasa, the evaluation, takes place. One is, when a pregnant woman is damaged, the pasuk says, in terms of the payments, kaasher yashis alav. Okay, and then in the case of kofar, it's im kofar yushas alav. Okay, so there's two times when we use hashasa, evaluation, in the pasuk to determine the penalty. Says the Gemara, ma lahalan bidenizik, just like by the case of the pregnant woman that is hurt, we evaluate based on her value, bidenizik, the one who is damaged, the damagee. The yashis is the value of the damagee, afkan bidinizik. Here too, we're going to evaluate based on the one who was damaged. In our case of kofar, that's the Chacham's opinion, why we evaluate based on the one who was damaged, the man who was killed by the ox. V'Rabbi Shmuel, and Rabbi Shmuel disagrees. Why? V'nosan pidyon nafsho ksiv. Because the pasuk says, you give the redemption of his soul. Who needs the redemption? The damager? So it's his soul that we need to evaluate. The Rabbanon, and the Rabbanon would answer, how do they understand the pasuk? Doesn't the pasuk seem to side with Rabbi Yishmael? In Pidyon Nafsho Kesiv, correct. It says that it's an atonement for his soul. Mihu, nonetheless, even though his soul is the one that's getting the atonement, Ki Shayminon B'dinizik Shayminon. When we actually do the evaluation, it's based on the damagee. But you're going to pay the damagee, the value of the damagee, and by doing that, you're going to get an atonement. Okay, that's the end of the case of Mishalman es HaKofer. We're going to continue with the next case of the Braisa, which is about 10 lines from the bottom. Ve'ein nimkorim be'eved ivri. We said that the halacha is if a person steals and doesn't have money to pay back, he gets sold as an eved ivri, as a slave, in order to pay back the money. What would happen if Edom Zoman came? They said Reuven stole a lot of money from Shimon. Okay? Now, technically, Reuven could have ended up an eved ivri, so maybe they tried to make him into an eved ivri. Let's see what the case is. Savar Rav Hamnuna Lameima. Rav Hamnuna originally thought to say, Hani Mili, when is this halacha true? Hecha de Islay Lidide. When Reuven has enough money to pay back. So they claim that Reuven stole $1,000, but Reuven has $1,000 to pay it back. So he would not have become an Eved Ivri. Hecha, where the Islay that there is, Lidide, to him. The Migu, that since the Ihu loan is Dabin, Reuven would not ultimately have gotten sold. In who they, Nami, lo mizdabinu. They also don't get sold. In other words, what did they try to do to him? They tried to make him pay $1,000. They didn't try to make him a slave, because he wouldn't have become a slave. Aval Hecha, that's what they originally thought. Aval Hecha, the less Leila Dide. Now what happens if Reuven doesn't have the $1,000? Af al gav, even though the Isle Liditu, they do have the $1,000, Mizdabnu, they get sold. Why? Because they tried to make Reuven into an Eid Zomim. Into an Eved Ivri. And by trying to make Reuven into an Eved Ivri, since he didn't have the money to pay, he would have become an Eved Ivri. That's what they intended to do to Reuven. That's what they get. And that even if they have $1,000, even if they say, wait, but put us in the same situation, we have $1,000 to pay. Says the Gemara. That was the original thought. V'leim rulei. Let them say, I'ant havalach mihava mizdabant. Right? Why can't they claim? What do you mean? Why would that halacha be fair? Why can't they claim? If I would have been that person, right? I wouldn't have gotten sold because we would have been able to pay it. So as Edom Zomim, we shouldn't have to become Eved Ivris. We should be able to pay the $1,000. So the Gemara says, Ella, rather. Sava Rav Amnuna Lameimar. Rav Amnuna's thought was Hani Mili, five lines from the bottom. Hani Mili, when was this case true that you can't get sold? Edom Zomim can't get sold as a slave, as an Eved Ivri. Hecha de Islay, Olidide, Olidithu. If anybody has money, then we don't sell him as an Eved Ivri. Because either way, either Reuven had the $1,000, so they never intended to make Reuven a slave. They intended to make Reuven pay $1,000. And if they had the money, they could always say, wait, if we would have been in that situation, we would have paid the $1,000. So how could you make us Eved Ivris? Says the Gemara, Hecha de Islay Olidide Olidetu. If he has the money or they have the money, Aval Hecha de Leslay Lolidide Velolidetu. But let's say neither of them have $1,000 to pay. Reuven doesn't have the $1,000, and they don't have the $1,000. So there's no claim to be made. Mizdabni, I would have thought that they could get sold. In other words, in that case, I would have thought, of course, if Reuven has $1,000, I never would have thought that the Edom Zomim would become slaves, that they would pay $1,000. And even if the Edom Zomim had $1,000 and Reuven didn't, they could claim, listen, if we were in that situation, we would have paid the money. So we look at it as $1,000, so let us pay $1,000. In those cases, of course, they don't become Eved Ivri. The Gemara says, even in a case where Reuven doesn't have $1,000 and the two witnesses don't have $1,000, so nobody can claim anything. In such a case, I would think that the witnesses should become an Eved Ivri, Edom Zomim, Amalei Rava. So therefore, Rava responded, V'nimkar, based on the Pasuk, V'nimkar b'gneva, so the person who stole is sold for his thievery, for stealing the money. Amarachmana b'gneva, so v'lo b'zimamo, that we sell this person for his stealing, but not for becoming an Eid Zomim. So here too we have a drasha to teach us that only the person who stole can become an Eved Ivri, but not the person who became an Eid Zomim on the person who stole. That's the last of the four original cases of the Braisa. The Gemara continues three lines from the bottom. Let's just finish up. This is the fifth case. This is Rabbi Akiva's addition. Rabbi Akiva added, Ein Mishalman al Piatzman, that if they go into Beis Din and they if they go into Beis Din and they say, we were found to be Huzam, to be Edom Zomen in another place, the halacha is, Ein Mishalman al-Piyatman, they don't have to pay. The Gemara explains three lines from the bottom. My time at Rabbi Akiva, why does Rabbi Akiva say this? Kosavar, because Rabbi Akiva holds Kenasahu. Edom Zomen is a Kenas, it's a penalty. Uknas Ein Mishalim al-Piyatman. And the rule is, whenever a person admits to doing something, by his own admission, if he's guilty by his own admission, he doesn't pay any knas. He only pays the original, the normal penalty. Amar Rabba. The normal payment. Amar Rabba. Rabba says, Teda, I'll prove it to you. Shaharei lo asu mais v'nei rogan. I'll prove to you that it's a knas, that it's a penalty and not an actual payment for something. Why? Shaharei lo asu mais v'nei rogan umishalman. They didn't do anything, right? We learned already that if two witnesses come into Beis Din and they actually inflict the punishment, they don't get punished. So the case where they actually get punished is when they didn't do anything. They didn't accomplish their goal. They tried to get Reuven to pay $100. They were unsuccessful. So did they cause any damage? No. But that's when they get the Edom Zomamin punishment, says the Gemara. So you see from there that it must be that it's a penalty, it's a knas, not a normal payment for doing damage. Because at the end of the day, by definition, Edom Zomen have not caused any damage, and yet they have a penalty. So it must be that it's a knas. And therefore we apply the rule that if you admit modeh b'knas, if you admit when it comes to a knas, you don't have to pay the money. Amar Rav Nachman, Teda, Rav Nachman says, we could prove it, we know. Shahari mamon biad balam u'mishalman. The money is in the hands of the original owner. You tried to get Reuven to have to pay $1,000, but he still has his $1,000. Umishalman, and you still have to pay. The Edom Zomen still have to pay, even though Reuven never lost his money. My nihu, delo asu maisa. What do you mean? What is that case? The case of Hai Mamun Biad Balav, the money is still in his hands, is the same as Rabba's case, that they didn't do any, they didn't actually accomplish anything. The top of Gimel Amud Aleph, my nihu, delo asu maisa. This is the same case as Rabba's proof that they didn't do anything wrong. He still has the money. They didn't accomplish anything. Hainu de Rabba. That's the same case as Rabba. Says the Gemara, Ema, let's say, V'chein Amar Rav Nachman. So too, says Rav Nachman. In other words, Rav Nachman had a similar statement in which he maintained that since the money never changed hands, it doesn't transfer, they never actually caused any actual damage, so the penalty of the Eid Zomim must be a penalty that's a knas, and therefore, if they came into Beis Din, Rabbi Kiva would maintain that they don't have to pay. They came into Beis Din and said, we were found to be Edom Zomen, they wouldn't have to pay for it, because that's called a modeh b'knas, and they would be pater. That is Daf Beis up until the top line of Daf Gimel Amud Aleph.